You say your love goes on forever, that your mercy never stops. So why would I assume you'll be somebody that you're not? Like sun in the morning, I'm never gonna be there every day. So what on earth could make me be afraid? Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down.
Amen and amen. You know, that's a good way to start off the song for this message this evening. So I guess I'm assuming the mic is working. If everybody can hear me, give me an amen. Because in all the troubles that I've been having, I forgot to completely check the mic before I logged into this thing. Because with issues with the internet and issues with the computer and issues with the score and issues and issues and issues and issues, you know, well, see, Lisa said no, then you're just going to have to tough it out then. So you're going to have to lip read. So can't help you. Anyway, it is Friday night. It looked like we was not going to have a message because, again, we're running into so much technical difficulties. As my dear friend says, you know, quite frankly, the enemy's been on overtime with me, folks. You know, not just me, but my wife and this household. And, man, we just got a lot going on, you know. And this message is kind of stemming from all that problems we've been having. And as me and my wife been in a discussion, we kind of been talking about, well, and none of us likes to hear this. And, you know, generally when a preacher talks about chastisement or rebuking or correction from the Lord, usually a lot of people get a little bit uneasy about that. Like, well, why would he do that to me? Why would he correct me? Why would he rebuke me? Why would he chastise me? Well, if you look in the Bible, there's plenty of reference to that. It tells us about chastisement from God and many other things. So if we're not quite doing something right in our lives, well, guess what, folks? As a loving parent, and those of you who had kids or were a parent, you can understand that. You know, if your child was getting out of line and not quite doing something right, you had to correct them. And sometimes it was not an easy task, but you had to. Well, it's the same with us in Christianity. You know, we're a child of God. We've been covering that in our Bible studies that we are children of God. But as me and my friend was talking this morning, if we start straying, getting off the beaten path, or not doing what we quite should be doing, let me tell you something, folks, you might not want to hear this, you might not like it, but God is going to correct us. And hopefully you might understand a little bit why in this message, because again, this was an inspired message, as always, because the Holy Spirit led me to this. It led me to a lot of thinking within myself and my wife, and you know, and I've been, you know, watching other people and talking to other people, and you know, and I've been watching a lot of things, especially within Christians. And I think some of this sums that up. And, you know, I implore you through this message, please listen carefully. Because as I was writing this, it pointed a lot of things to me that, guess what? Now I got to get the tools out. I got to start fine-tuning that a little bit. I got to start fine-tuning that Christian walk a little bit. I got to start fine-tuning myself a little bit because, you know what? There's some things in here I didn't like. But, you know, the thing is, we have to understand it's necessary in our Christian walk when these things happen. So, with that, let me ask you this question. And you don't have to give a response. I don't ask for nobody to raise hands. Or online viewers, you know, you don't have to give a response. You can only answer to yourself and be honest with yourself. You know, because like I said, I'm not asking you to give yourself out for others to look at you like, No. This is for you and you only. And between you and God. Are you truly giving God your very best? And you think about that question hard. Are you really giving God your very best? Or do you even think about giving Him your very best? Do you even think about that? Or do you just say, I don't have time to do so, or I will catch you later? You see, these are some very serious questions we, as disciples of Christ, need to examine within our hearts to see if we are truly, truly giving God our very best. Now, if you could think about where does all this very best come from? Now, if you go all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve, did they give God their very best? At first, it seemed like they did, but they didn't. They failed. Then their kids, Cain and Abel. Y'all should know the story of that. Who gave their very best to God and who didn't? The one that did eventually was murdered. The one that didn't was cursed. I sometimes wonder, did he die in the flood or was he cursed for all eternity to roam this planet? I was thinking about that because I go through the Bible a lot. And I was reading chronologically, and I just now started reading where the Lord's leading me to read. And I just got through with Genesis. I'm currently in the Book of Numbers right now. But I was thinking about that, you know, looking at some of the wording the Lord was telling Cain and Abel when he was asking them, "Well, where's your brother?" And like he said, "Well, I don't know where my brother's keeper is, but his blood was crying out from the ground." But God told him, "You're cursed and to walk the earth forever." Kind of an afterthought, but anyway, I was using this, you know, thinking about that, thinking about me lately. And I'm not going to try to put my wife in a hot spot too, but you know, this has to do with a lot of people. Are we truly giving God our very best? So instead of giving God our very best, as most people do, we rush off to work. We get busy with our day. And yes, somewhere in that day, the thought does come to mind saying, "Oh, Lord, look, hold on. I promise to read your word and pray before I go to sleep tonight. I'll do that when I get home." Then at night, when we get home, we're too exhausted to read more than a few verses before we fall asleep, and we fail to give it any serious thought or attention. So we say, "Well, I'll do it again tomorrow. I'll make sure." And sometimes the following day, we do the same thing. We get home, we're just too tired, too wore out, Lord, I'm tired. Some people follow that pattern a lot. And sadly, for many people out there today, that is their pattern. But sadly, when I see people like this, and I am the one to preach the truth, I will tell you straight up, these type of people is what I call convenience Christians. They're convenience Christians. Conveniently, Lord, I will do whatever I can. Now, you think about it. If you are a convenience Christian, is this type of obedience acceptable to God? My sinus is killing me. If you're a convenience Christian, is this kind of obedience acceptable to God? I see one has answered right. No, it's not. If you really think about who God really is, you really think about it hard and serious, and you really think about your relationship, but if you're taking that relationship as a convenience, is that acceptable to God? That's why I say no, it's not. And sadly, Christianity today has, for many, been made too convenient and has produced fewer strong, faithful, obedient believers. And many believers today, I honestly think they are believers, but they wonder, why do I have so many problems in my life? Because as I said, they became too convenient in their relationship with God, so they're not that strong to fight the spiritual battles. And they're not obedient in everything they're doing. As my wife was saying this morning, you know, some verses came to her mind in her study, you know, broad is the way that many chooses, but narrow is the way that is hard. And many people do not want to take that narrow path because it's too hard for them to walk it because there's too much resistance. So they'd rather take a broad path, which is easier for them. That's how they treat their Christianity, as a convenience. Lord, I'll fit you in some kind of way. And to them, their lack of desire to be what God wants them to be only hinders their relationship with Him. Look, please, far be it from me. I do not want to overstate the case here, as I really do believe that many, many believers I know truly love the Lord and they have dedicated their lives to Him. But to some, it seems to be what I call convenience store Christianity. I'm not trying to overstate this. I really do many dedicated their lives to Him. But they had put their relationship into what I call a convenience store Christianity. Now, if you're treating your relationship to God like a convenience store Christian, then how are you going to ever be a strong Christian? How are you going to be a strong Christian if you're treating your faith, let's put it this way, your relationship with God as a mere convenience? Oh God, I love you. I'll surrender my life to you. I'll give everything to you. But I got to throw some conditions in there. I want to be convenient to fit my schedule. And this has been the mentality of many Christians today. I'll fit you in somewhere in my schedule. I'm just busy. I got kids to deal with. I got a husband to deal with. I got a wife to deal with. You know, we got events to go to, parties, this, that. You know, I'll get you in church somewhere. Some show up church 2-3 times a year, maybe. I'll read your word when I can get a chance. Or I promise I'll do it. How are you going to ever be a strong Christian in this demonic realm that we're in today if you're treating your Christianity as a mere convenience? See, folks, let me tell you something. The only true way any Christian grows, are you ready for this? And that's what I mentioned to my wife this morning. The only real way that a true Christian grows, if they pay the cost of seeking God's truth and obeying them. The only way you're going to grow, if you are willing to seek the cost at all costs. Me and my friend mentioned that this morning. And being a disciple of Christ, you got to count at all costs. Am I willing to pay the price? And don't say you will and then treat it as a, some kind of convenience. Either you're all in 100% or you're not. And if you're not, seriously, I suggest you find out why. Just think about maybe if God was just semi-treating what he did for us as a convenience. Well, I might send Jesus whenever I get around to it. Jesus might say, well, I just go up just to the cross, but after that I'm not going to go to the cross. Or I just do it halfway for you. You see, folks, God was serious. He was serious for that relationship with us. He was serious by sending his son to the cross. He was serious by granting us mercy. He was serious by giving us grace. Because let me tell you something. If we get what we deserve, I'm going to tell you something right now, my friends, it's not pleasant. If we truly got what we deserve, all of us would be doomed. But you got to think about the cost of seeking God. You really do. And you have to dig into your heart. Am I willing to pay this price? Am I? And you got to think about it. What does this price tag consist of? Well, this price tag includes desire, an effort, and most important, a sacrifice. No matter what it takes to be closer to God and be used by him, it's going to take a serious relationship with him, and you pay the cost no matter what. So why do you give God your only second best? Why do you give God your second only best if you're not willing to pay the cost? And let me say this much. God already knows whether you've done your best or not. He knows. Look, we can fool our spouse. We can fool our parents. We can fool our children, our employers, even our best friends. You can even fool your pastor. But let me tell you something right now. You cannot, and let me say this again, you cannot fool God. Listen to what this passage is going to tell us about this in our reading passage for tonight. It's Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10. And look at that very, very carefully. Because when I looked at it, I was like, whoa. And look what he's telling us. Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord with slackness. And cursed is he who keeps back his sword from bloodshed. That's serious. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. Father, those online listeners, when they listen to this recording, I hope this speaks to their hearts, because if they've been slack in their obedience to you, if they've been slack in serving you, if they have not been giving you their very best, I ask of you to use this message to speak to their hearts. Father, this is not meant for no conviction, because this spoken to me, and I got a feeling this is going to speak to many others, because sometimes we do not like to ask the hardcore questions about our relationship with you. We try to hide from you. We try to bypass the question from you. We really don't want to even pursue that question, because sometimes we think, hey, I'm okay. I'm all right. But if truthfully, if we was to seek ourselves, we'll find out, Father, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing for you. So I ask of you to help us look at ourselves tonight. Those online listeners, I ask you, Lord, to touch their hearts and help them seek something within themselves and see if they are really true and if they are giving you their best. Be with us in mind, body, spirit. Give us the strength, the courage, the wisdom to be bold and ask the hard questions in our lives. And we want to give it all back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, the sinuses. Y'all know the message. And this is why I titled this message this way. Are you giving God your very best? Burn that into your mind. Are you giving God your very best? Listen to this. It was a rainy Sunday afternoon. A little brother and sister were playing Noah and the Ark. An old shoebox was the Ark. The bathtub was their flood. After the flood was over, they decided to make an offering to God. Noah, the boy, said to Mrs. Noah, the girl, "Here, take one of your toy animals as a sacrifice." "No," she replied, "let's use one of your animals instead." When they could not agree, she ran up to the attic. And in a moment, she was back with a toy lamb. It was real dirty, old, falling apart. Its head was smashed in. Its tail was missing. Threads coming apart. "Here," she cried, "let's give this as a sacrifice. We will never want it again." Her brother agreed, and they made their sacrifice. This little broken lamb they did not want was given to God. Now picture this, the scene shifts. We're in a different scene now. God was looking down at his earth. He saw the people and all their wickedness and their weakness. They had no hope. All was dark. Something had to be sacrificed if they were to be saved from their sin. God had many angels he might have sent to help. He did not even consider them. Another was chosen instead. The very best that God had. John chapter 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Without a question, our Heavenly Father, in his compassion for us, gave someone of the highest quality, excellence, and standing. He gave us his very best, his only begotten Son, that you and I might have life. Since God gave his best for us, the question should be, should we give anything less to him? Do we give God our best moments in prayer and meditation on His Word are obedience? Do we? Or do we just give Him the residue, the leftovers of the remains of our day? Do we give our best effort on the job? Or do we do just enough to get by and receive a paycheck? Do we give God our best when it suits us? Look what Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 says. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul? Now, friends, if you really pay particular attention to that passage, if you really look at the reading in this passage, it is very clear that God wants our best, not second fiddle, not residue. He wants from us our very best. He does not want to be played second fiddle. He does not want to be patronized with anything less than the best. Now, let me ask you another question. If we're supposed to honor the Lord with our best, as the scripture says, doesn't it stand to reason that we dishonor Him when we give anything less than the best? Doesn't it stand to reason that we do dishonor Him when we do give Him less than the best, when He gave us the best? Come on here. You see, folks, the dictionary defines honor as this: high respect, as for worth, merit, or rank. So it stands to reason that if we don't give God the first, the best of everything we have, then we're not going to give Him the highest respect. And those who offer God the second best do not have an appropriate concept of who God is. We don't understand who God is if we're not giving Him our very best. Because if we're giving Him seconds, leftovers, residue, then we ain't fully grasped the concept of who God was or is. If Jesus Christ Himself died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. None. Look what Numbers, and that's the chapter I'm in now, Numbers chapter 18, verse 29 says, out of all the gifts to you, you shall present every contribution due to the Lord. From each its best part to be dedicated. Out of all the gifts to you, my friends, you shall present every contribution that you have due to the Lord, because from each his best part is to be dedicated to Him and not us. Look, my friends, let me say this. Be sure to give all to the Lord the best portions of the gifts given to you. Now, you may ask me, okay, well, what are the gifts given to you? It shouldn't take you as a rocket scientist to figure out what are the gifts given to you. It shouldn't take us long to look at them, but I will pose this. What is a gift? Do you give Him the best part of your day when you're all refreshed and relaxed and ready to enter into His presence? Or do you give Him sloppy seconds? It's clear to me that God wants our best, not excuses, not promises of, well, we'll do it one day when it's convenient. No, He wants our very best right now, and that's how we honor Him in everyday life. Yes, I do ask a lot of questions. And here's another question to ask. Why not the best? Why not? Why don't we give the best in everything we do? Well, I'm glad you're asking or thinking. Here's several reasons I think we, as devoted followers of Christ, should give our very best to Him. Here's several reasons. We're going to cover them. The first reason is, and listen to this carefully, God is checking you out, carefully evaluating your performance. Look what Psalms chapter 26, verse 2 says. There's your proof in the pudding. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. We need to do our very best for Him. And doing so, we need to keep in mind always the ultimate master that you're serving is Jesus Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Just because being a follower of Jesus Christ doesn't cover up bad work, it does not give us an excuse to do so. And by the way, as God is evaluating your performance right now, He's not looking for excuses, my friends, but results. Our Heavenly Father tells us, in fact, in so many passages in Word, He tells us flat out, according to His Word, to do our very best. And that's what we better be doing. And if you're not, then you better find out what is wrong. The second reason for giving God your very best. The second reason. God wants you to be the best. God wants you to be the best. And here's why I'm saying this. The best reason to be focusing on giving God your very best effort is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And look what it says. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, that's not an excuse to treat Him like a bubblegum machine or like, you know, you put your little penny or nickel in there and you get all you want. No, that's what He's not alluding to here. But He's alluding that you need to be giving Him your very best and seek His kingdom. So if we're not giving Him our very best, and I'm going to talk a little slow because I do have an accent and sometimes I'm hard to understand. And you better think about this hard. So if we're not giving Him our very best, then why should we expect God to give us His best? Let that sink in. If you're not giving God your very best, then why should He? That hit me a little bit hard when I thought about that. Because, see, God has given us the spiritual insight and scriptural promises to do our best. And if we're not, then how does He feel about that, or even us? If we're not giving God our very best, then how does He feel about that? God does have feelings. The third reason for giving God your very best, are you ready for this? Your persistence is required. The third reason for giving God your very best, your persistence is required. Why I say that? Very simple. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Right there, folks, read it. I would say black and white, but, you know, it is white on black, so you know what. But look what it says. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If we do not give up. Powerful. And like the attacks that I've been going through, the worry or the thought, quit, has been coming into this mind a lot. But the reason why I'm saying that your persistence is recognized, because someone once said, patience, persistence, and preparation. Patience, persistence, and perspiration makes an unbeatable combination for success. And by the way, folks, you don't need a PhD to be persistent. You don't. For us who desires to please the Lord, persistence keep us from straying. So if you're persistent in your faith and you're constantly pressing to move forward, to push on, this is why Paul tells us to push on, to keep moving forward, to keep working to finish the race. Be persistent. Because when you're focused on being persistent and following him and giving him your very best, then you have less of a tendency to stray. You start putting your mind on other things and quit being persistent, you're going to stray in the wrong direction. We persistently put one foot in front of the other as we walk the path of God that he has designed for us, the narrow path. If we do so, then temptations and doubt and no discouragement can destroy those who are persistent in following Jesus Christ. Persistence is a great part of godly character when its objectives are godly. It is part of a worldly character when its objectives are in worldly manner. So if your heart is not sold out to God, if you're not 100% sold out to God, then your persistence in doing your very best for him will become dull and will become void. Because if you're not sold out 100% in your heart, you're going to become dull and void. And failure to be the best and to be persistent in our Christian walk, it indicates to us, and listen to this carefully, and I mentioned to my dear friend Lisa this morning, when I got to this part, it scared me. It made me think, oh Lord, could this be me? Could this be me? Failure to be the best and to be persistent in our Christian walk indicates that we do not want to give him 100% of our lives to Christ to start with. Failing to give him our very best and not being persistent in that indicates we don't want to give him 100%. And if we're not giving him 100% and we're just kind of doing what I call that convenience relationship, listen to what 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says about that. And that's what bothered me. Because if we're not giving God 100%, and I came across this passage, and look what it says, and they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain, and look at the last part of this, that they all are not of us. See, I got chills just thinking about this right now. If we're not giving God your very best, it almost indicates that we're not of Him. I don't know about you, look, but hearing this and reading this and thinking about this verse, it scares me. The reason why it's doing so, because again, if we are not willing to give God our very best and really give Him 100%, then it really makes me wonder, am I His to begin with? Am I really His to begin with if I'm not giving Him my all? And worst off in thinking this? Will He even recognize me on the day that I face Him? If I'm not giving Him my all, will Jesus actually recognize me? The fourth reason, and I think this is very important for us, on giving God your very best. The depth of your character is obvious to others. The fourth reason for giving God your very best. The depth of your character is obvious for all to see. Why did I say that? Look what Mark chapter 12, verse 43 says. And He called His disciples to Him and said to him, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Now picture this. Here's why this is so important and all that I'm saying, because I'm trying to tie all this up. We remember that Jesus Himself, look, He was standing there. He was watching all these so-called religious leaders and people and high statues and everything else, and they're walking in and they're making a big scene, throwing in lots of money to claim, you know, to draw attention to themselves. And look what this poor little old widow, poor lady, dirt poor, only had 2 mites left to her name. You imagine, she was probably thinking, well, maybe I just keep one and I give you one, Lord, because I really need this money bad. I really do. She could have been thinking that. She had nothing left. 2 mites, all to her name. Everybody else was just, looked like they were bragging and boasting and throwing in golds and rings and, yeah, look at me, ping, ping, you know. And here's old Jesus. He's probably standing there checking them out. Yeah, right. Y'all are still empty in the heart. But here comes this poor old lady. She could have just kept one back. All she had. All her worth. 2 mites. Her very best. Puts it in a collection plate. And what Jesus did, He told us how that poor widow who had given an offering of 2 mites in His eyes has given more than anyone else. She gave God her very best. Her very best. So in your life, remember that God deserves your best. In everything that you do, in everything, all, not some, not a little, not maybe, when it's convenient, all, 100% or nothing. Show Him how important He is to you by your actions and attitudes. Show Him. Be like that poor widow. Give Him your very best. Never compromise anything in your life. Always seek to serve Him with passion and excellence. Spend quality time with Him. Spend quality time in prayer. Spend quality time in reading His Word. And folks, when you give your very best, when you give him all that you have, your Father in heaven will see that he will be pleased in what you are doing. Because once again, if God gave his very best to us, then why are we not giving our very best back to him? Remember, when giving God your best, someone is observing you. They're watching you. They're watching you to see if you are really claiming to what you are. And if you're not giving God your very best, then why should they themselves even decide to give themselves to God? Because if you're not doing it, then in their eyes, then why should I? And I'm speaking to myself, friends. Oh, look, you think I'm innocent? Oh, not by a long shot. This was a wake-up call to me. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa, Nelly. I think I got to take another look at old Jimbo here. Man. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Let's tell the truth. Let's just be honest. Let's tell the truth right now. In a very busy world and our very busy lives, the King himself often gets our leftovers. Jesus always gets our leftovers. Leftover time, leftover energy, leftover talent, leftover finances. And folks, that is wrong. That's wrong. I just said it needs to be all, everything, 100%. But here, Lord, here's my leftovers. I'm done with it, so you can have it. Just like that girl did with that dirty old lamb. We forget, friends. Look, hold on. We forget this isn't work for the church or for some Christian organization or for people around us or for people we report to. This is for the King. For the King himself. Why are we not giving him our best? That's who it's for, not for us. This is the King who brought you back with life of his Son. And someday, each of us will stand before this very same King. And we will offer him the work we did for him. I hope you gave your very best to him. And that Jesus will be proud of you on that day. And you're not going to be ashamed of giving him your very best. And I hope for each of us. I hope that we do not hear these dreaded words, which he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. I just hope, folks, that if we're not giving God our very best, I hope when we stand before him that very day, that we do not hear these words. Oh, God, I hope I don't hear them. And that even frightens me even more. And look what he said. And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. How awful. How awful that will be on the day to hear those words. And there is no second chance. It's over with. We now have the time while you are listening to this message. This is why we now need to evaluate the work we are doing for the Lord. Right now. Right now. Y'all heard many messages from me, but this one's important. This is an eye-opener. This is a game-changer. You need to see, God, am I giving you my best? Oh, God, I hope so. If not, then help me make it right. And we need to pay attention to this. We need to pay attention that we're giving him our very best, because the day is coming when we all will be tested and graded. And unlike school, when you get a failing or a passing grade, this grade affects you for all eternity. There's no makeup. There's no do-overs. It goes through the fire. And either it survives or burns. Kind of sounds like our souls. Which is why this is so vital, that we handle this appropriately, carefully, and cautiously. And last but not least, folks, the reason why we need to handle this appropriately, carefully, and cautiously is because we all heard this term. We heard it a lot in our lives. I'm sure you can relate to it. You probably heard this one time or another, many times in your life. You hear this, well, what's the worst that can happen? Really? What's the worst that can happen? Well, in this case, the worst that can happen is not giving God your very best. That's the worst that can happen. Are you giving God your very best? And if not, what are you going to do about it? Think about it. Amen. Let's pray.